Blog Talk Radio. Because we have not learned to live in harmony with nature. We are trying to, men in this who are in control and authority, they're trying to destroy the earth along with the human vessels, the sanctuaries that our souls dwell in. But this show is about uplifting you, the listener, and even uplifting each other to dwell on this earth in power, to dwell on this earth with consciousness, and to be in harmony with nature, especially the stones. Listening to the stones, which is a gift that my sister, Mom Maisie, has had for many years, even as a child, listening to the stones, the rocks, the beautiful rocks that the Creator has given us for various reasons, for various tools. So I welcome Mama AZ all the way from Arizona. Good evening. Aho, how are you?
Greetings, sister. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, you're coming in loud and clear. Thank you.
That is a blessing. Bless the Most High. Bless God. My sister, I'm right now anointing my sacred gel in my body with oil. I'm anointing. I overdid it. However, I'm anointing myself and knowing that healing is being established. These parts are being regenerated with harmony. And I couldn't have said it any better than you, my sister. It's something, it's saying a lot when you're not in nature or you're not one with nature. You know, since I've been out here in Arizona, I haven't been with the green, the nature that I've acclimated my total mind, body, and spirit to, and that's in North Carolina and Virginia. I'm missing that. My body is crying. It's missing that because here in Arizona, you just do not get what you do when you're in the Carolinas and in the Virginias and in the Georgias and some parts of even Arkansas and the Alabama. You know, you just do not, that's just my opinion now, everybody. You don't get full degree of that type of vibration for the wellness of your body, and I'm missing it. I'm missing it. So I'm going to be leaving as soon as that door is open for me to reconnect with my nature there in North Carolina and Virginia. It's very necessary, extremely necessary. So what you said about nature, we are continuing, not all of us, however, many of us are continuing to allow powers to be, to put us in a sleep mode, a dead zone, and we don't really care to know what it's like to be out of that dead zone because we're so comfortable. It's like I'm being tested with this box here that you have to put electricity on or it won't stop beeping until everything is cut off. And I'm like, okay, I got something to do. So you just beep on, buddy, until I can get to feed you. And if I don't get to feed you, then I have my little lantern out there, my little camp stove, and I don't need anything else, actually, you know? So it's a test. We are being driven to madness because we allow it to disengage us and not get to the simplicity of life. And one major thing that I'm learning, my sister, is that here in this country, we do not value our elders enough. We do not value what wisdom that they come with, meaning the elders, and potent things that they can share with us about their life journey to assist and help the young ones be more in harmony. It's sad, and it really troubles me. However, I must find a way to not allow that to bother me so much. But it's sad, you know what I mean? Sad.
Well, you know, we can look at it as being sad, or let's look at it on another level, on a higher level.
All right.
And this is a really, I'm so glad you're bringing this up, because this is something we observe, especially the baby boomers, those of us who are conscious, we observe how the young people are dealing with their lives and in this day and age of technology and so much negative influences and adversarial energy. And so it's a really good point, I think, you bring up how the elders are not getting the respect and acknowledgement that we deserve in many ways. But I remember hearing Cicely Tyson on a Oprah Winfrey Network master's class talking about this very topic, how she felt that the elders, the youth need to listen to the elders. But here's the thing. They've got to learn the consequences of their choices. And just like our generation has learned, because I remember I didn't listen to my elders that much either as I was growing up. They were old-fashioned. They didn't really know what they were talking about. We always thought we knew more than they did. And I see the same mindset in youth today is that they think they know everything. But we come around. To this day, I have so much respect for elders, for people who have walked the walk and who have journeyed and suffered and have recovered and survived all the Jim Crowism and all the tragedies of their lives. We can look at that as part of this university lesson. We have kids going 4 years to a major college, and they don't learn anything. They spend all that money, and they come out, and they have to wait tables. So they're going to learn. They're learning a lesson through that. Just as I think they're going to learn a lesson when we see that they reject the knowledge and wisdom that we have, or our elders even have. We can see that as part of their schooling. I see it as they are freshmen in college when they rejecting the wisdom, the overstanding, and the knowledge of their elders. They're freshmen in college. Maybe by
okay.
the time they get to be seniors in college, they will recognize the value of the wisdom and the knowledge and understanding that we have and that we have earned by journeying on this earth, keeping our eyes open, keeping our mind open, and being used by the Creator, the Most High, to help everyone on this earth to hear better what nature is saying, and to feed the body better, to understand how to feed, how to take care of the body, listen, how to listen to the body when it's talking. All these lessons we have learned, some of us, the hard way. And so
yes.
we have to be very patient with the youth of today, because we were there at one point too. And so don't get discouraged. This is all part of the entertainment that we're meant to enjoy as souls in a sanctuary of this human vessel. And we're supposed to have a little laughter and enjoyment when we see people rejecting wisdom, because we know they're going to have some hard knocks. They may have to suffer a little, but they're going to learn what it means to be a human being on this earth, suffer consequences, and then rise up and say, oh, maybe I better listen to my elders now.
Yes, yes. Thank us, sister, for
thank us
helping me to revise and take a look at that in that way. Yes, thank us.
Yes, we thank all the messengers who are teaching us and who will also teach our youth. Because there are many youth who are becoming more conscious, and I'm so grateful when I meet one or two. In fact, Brother L.A. has a show on Sunday with a young college student that is so aware and conscious about relationships and healing relationships. And I am just so impressed with this young lady. She's only a college student, but she's one of those who's ready to change the world within the area of relationships. And so there are a few out there who we can say, well, good, go girl, you got it. You got the idea. Listen and go forward in your wisdom. And so she's one of those youth who has a lot of wisdom.
Well, I haven't Go ahead. I haven't had the opportunity. Well, I didn't have the opportunity Sunday to chime in. Can you remind us what time her show is with Brother L.A.?
You know, it comes on after mine, I think, at 9 or...
I think it comes on
at 7. You know what? We'll have to ask Brother L.A. tomorrow. What's tomorrow? I'm so confused the days.
It's Thursday.
Yeah. We can, when you tune in to Brother L.A. has a show, for those of you listening, called It's My House on Blog Talk Radio, and it comes on every morning at 10:30, and he teaches and presents a perspective about social capital and keeping your house and maintaining your house and investing, but he's started a new show on Sunday, so we'll have to ask him tomorrow what time and the topic. I can't even remember the topic, but I was on there at one time. On 7. I think it comes on at 7. So we are blessed to be a family. Nature, I think, when I look at nature, I see a family of plants, a family of stones. Do you... Mama AZ, have that sense when you're moving these stones that this is kind of a family and that some stones need to be together and some are when you're hearing them, are they needing to be closer to other stones, or how does that communication work in your mind?
Well, it's funny because it really perplexed my brother. Oh, my God, it perplexed him like you wouldn't believe. You know, the other day I was at Circle K, and there was this stone there, and I drove up, and it's people, you know, like the homeless population of people, smoking and throwing cigarette butts and smashing cigarette butts. And I swear to God, sister, I drove up and this stone started screaming, "Get me out of here, get me out of here." And I was tired and I just sit there for a moment. I heard it again. And this is heavy stone, so I've learned to keep plastic bags, double plastic bags, and it's the way you can pick them up. You always leave a pinch of tobacco or sage or something. Well, they got enough of that because there's a lot of cigarette butt tobacco around, you know? And this stone kept saying, "Would you please take me away from here? I need to be with some other energy." And I'm just sitting there, just meditating. And actually, I was listening to Professor Houston and his show. This was Sunday evening.
Mm.
And I heard it again. So I had to go into the store to get some gas. And I come back in the car. I said, okay. I said, all right, I hear you. So I just got my little plastic bag and just scooped it up, and it's here. Now, waiting to go to Virginia. I'm not kidding you. And the other stone, I was so tired, but I'm going to go there and see if I hear that stone. They do talk, and they know that I hear them. And sister, a lot of times I just have to close my ears because they know I hear them. It's like, what's this program that comes on with this woman? I think it's Ghost Whisperer or something. Anyway, she hears ghosts. And that's what the stones, I hear them. And they tell me that they want to move, they want to leave, or leave me here. But most of the time, the ones that need to leave, those are the ones that reach out to me. I kid you not. Mm-hmm. And they have no other way to leave unless people pick them up and transport them, you know. Mm-hmm. And apparently, this was given for me because of the family that I chose as well. I'm looking at all of these things and how my dad, I used to hear my cousin say, you know, he's on the other side now, how my dad would get these stones and sell them, and very interesting story, you know, to go into at another time. But all of these things I'm remembering and revisiting that I thought I didn't hear when different ones were telling me about this. And now I am remembering, and I'm like, oh, aha, I understand. And it's moments like those moments that I remember that helps me to not get discouraged and keep on keeping on. You know, it's like moments like the gathering at South Mountain. Brother Kwame and others came. And I do know that they were summoned, not only by the drums, but they were summoned to assist those mineral people in getting back in the car. Because they gave me the strength to get them in alone by myself. But I'm telling you, I was so worn out. It was a challenge to get them back in the car. And there were different ones that had been called. So if I didn't see it, I wouldn't believe it, to assist this elder, meaning me, to get those stones back in the car. And they are not like 5 pounds. There are some that are maybe 200 pounds, you know, but they wanted to be there. And that energy and that environment. So not many people that I've met yet understand that. So it's just beautiful that you've opened up this space for me to talk about this, because this is life. This is part of my existence and many others, to be able to work with these stones, the mineral people, and not just your ordinary, I mean, you know, the ones that call my attention are the most common ones, the ones that you wouldn't probably even notice the beauty in them. The average Joe, they may call this your average stone. And it gives me pleasure to be able to recognize and to look around and see the beauty within all stones, no matter how common they may be or look or what have you. It gives me pleasure. It gives me pleasure, sister.
And you have such a keen eye for the beauty in nature. You know, it's like seeing a black rose or a plant that doesn't have the same type of beauty of a lily. I picked up some lilies today at Walmart because the lady who has opened her home to me wanted some lilies in the house. So I said, okay, when I go to Walmart, I'll look for lilies. And these are the most beautiful plant flowers and the leaves and the geometry around. I was looking at the geometry of it, the triangles of these plants and the shape of these plants. And yet, you like you say, there are some things in nature that are not as obviously beautiful as a lily in a pot. And so, when you have the ability, like you have, to recognize that beauty, I can understand why you hear their voices, because it's almost like seeing a person who doesn't have the same model type beauty that we see on the magazines and we see on the television, the actresses and the flowing hair and all that. But when you see the beauty of an African person with really dark skin and beautiful eyes, then that way you can almost hear their soul talking to you, because you're not distracted by the commercial beauty or the outward beauty. It causes you to look within their eyes to see the soul. So do you feel like you can hear the soul of the rocks, of the stones?
Yes, I can. I can. And when I'm really in tune, oh, man, yes. There is a gentleman in North Carolina, Joseph, who is assisting me with opening up the doorway to that medicine spiral in Alton, Virginia. Mm-hmm. And he is a dowser, and you should hear him comment on some of the stones that he's gotten from the location that I've gotten, brought them back from, like Wounded Knee and the battlefield on the Crow, the Bighorn. And he's taken them back to his sanctuary in North Carolina, and they've had ceremony with those stones for the healing of those people that were caught up in that drama there at Wounded Knee and the Battle of the Bighorn and other places. And it's interesting, some of the conversations that he's heard and the healing that has taken place. And hopefully one day soon I'll be able to get him, because he's a really busy person, get him on the show and just talk about some of what he has heard as well in some of his knowledges by working with these stones as well. I came in contact with him because of the little sister who started my Facebook page. I call it Facebook. Mm-hmm. I know it's Facebook. Miss Makita Mayotte.
That's appropriate.
And she, about maybe 2 years or more ago, she sent me this picture of this medicine spiral that's at the Unity Church in Chapel Hill. And the rest is history. I ended up that when I went back this last time, or maybe the time before, connecting with Joseph and meeting him in person. And it was just such a wonderful, wonderful experience. And he ended up assisting me in making it happen up at Mothers for the Earth in Alton, Virginia, laying down of the medicine spiral. And see, I had had a vision about that maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe 7 years ago, 9 years ago. It was a long time ago anyway. And now it's now, after all of these years of having that vision, it's now being brought to fruition. And there are some godfathers, some newer people that the other sisters, Sister Sophia L., who is the other person of the Rainbow Coalition of Rock Medicine Women, she is assisting me in going down to the LGI, meaning the Lewis G. Gregory Institute in South Carolina, and gathering some of those godfathers, meaning the stones that came from Wounded Knee and the Battle of the Big Horn, Langdeer, Montana, Chief Joseph's place where he surrendered in Chinook, Montana, and many more strategic locations where they had battles with Indians and the cavalry. So those stones, some of those stones now are there in Virginia. And it's not an easy journey to do this. And I've basically kind of done this like on a credit card and faith. So this is something that I don't take lightly, sister. This is a serious mission. And it takes others like Brother Kwame and Brother Joseph to explain the vastness of this and why the purpose is so vital and so important, you know?
Yeah. I hear you. It is so important.
So I'm very thankful and very grateful that I've been able to manage to this degree, to this point, to be able to, you know, to have accomplished this so far.
And, you know, it just occurs to me that the universe is using all the tools available on earth to bring healing to the earth, and each one of us has an assignment to use the mind that the Creator has given us to do what we were assigned to do, because there are these invisible fibers reaching out to the stars that are transmitting our assignment to us. This is how I see it. We have this transmission going on from a star in the universe, in the cosmos, that is giving us our assignment. And so if we are receiving it, then that's how you hear rock. You heard that rock saying, get me out of here, because that's part of your assignment. And you, that was transmitted. That was, to me, that was transmitted from the Creator's energy and universe to help you on this, to do what needs to be done to heal this earth. Those of us who are conscious of the need for healing and are not just going about our 8 to 5 and partying and doing what young people, immature, unconscious people do, that we're receiving that energy every day in a more, I think, in a more powerful way to help bring about the balancing and the healing that's needed on this earth. And so that's why we don't have to worry about what the young people are doing or not doing or whether they acknowledge us or what. We just have to receive the messages from our Creator and His universe. We have to receive the messages and know with confidence that, yes, this is my assignment. This is my purpose on this earth, and I need to move forward in it, because the bigger picture is that we are healing this big earth by our task, our assignment, that we, our energy that we put out, our energy of love, of moving the stone, or helping people listen to their body, or helping people, reminding people to anoint their bodies with oil and to breathe deeply, because we all have this, live in this fragile vessel. But inside of this human body, just like nature, is a purpose. And every cell in our body, every microbe in our body, we have to remember, I have to remind my listeners all the time that we have more microbes, more friendly bacteria, microbe universe, than we have cells in our body. And we have trillions of, but there are actually more microbes in the body assigned to do the work of soldiers, of leaders, and all the assignments that every microbe has. When we have candida, the microbes have a job to try and get us back into balance. And those candida bacteria have a job to remind us that we're out of balance. You're out of balance. It's a message that comes through those microbes even. So that's why I tell my friends and clients that the first thing you should do when you're out of balance is get more microbes in your body. In fact, you have to re-implant re-energize the body with the microbes in billions. You have to put in billions that are made in capsules or other powders. You have to, the Creator has provided in the way of supplements, microbes, probiotics that can help reestablish the balance in our bodies. So along with having the rocks, it's almost like having all the rocks in the right place, or the stones in the right place, so that the energy is all balanced in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing goes on inside. We have to reestablish the microbes that have been destroyed or reduced because of what we choose to eat, or even our thoughts, how we choose to think.
So true. Now, sister, what are some foods that are excellent and within the budget that you would suggest to
pickles are one of my favorites, and the pickles can, if you can find a grower, a farmer who is growing small pickles, then you or small cucumbers, you can make your own pickles. You just need a pickling jar, and you need the herbs, and you need there are other things that go. I have a kit that I haven't used yet, but once I get established in my own home, I'm at a friend's house now, but once I get established, I'm going to start doing my own pickling, because I love pickles. I just love pickles. When I feel out of balance, that's like the first thing I want to reach is just to eat a pickle, because that pickle, that cucumber has been fermented, and it has grown the microbes that are needed to help your body have good digestion and to reestablish the good bacteria. Same with sauerkraut. You can take a head of cabbage and make your own sauerkraut. It just takes time and the right herbs and fluids to let it set and create the right microbes.
What about olives?
Olives?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that familiar with olives. I'm not sure that's a fermented food. I don't think that's a fermented food, because I rarely see that in the list. But things like kefir, yogurt, you can make your own kefir and yogurt. If you live near a farmer, especially who has cows or goats, you can make your own kefir. You just need a starter package. Or you need some yogurt to put into the milk to let the microbes grow. tempeh. Tempeh is a fermented soy product that you can use. And then there's other ones. There's one called kimchi. But those are the main ones, making the cucumbers into pickles, the cabbage into sauerkraut, and the milk into kefir or yogurt. Those are just three of the major foods that will help you reestablish that good bacteria, which will help the body heal and get into balance. Because think about this. Why did the Creator put more microbes in the human sanctuary body than than cells or anything else? I thought about that for a while. Why did because the Creator is full of purpose. We were knit together in our mother's womb with purpose. Why would he give us more microbes? And the interesting thing is scientists are just beginning to discover just how many microbes are in this body. I heard a report, they looked at these indigenous people down in Venezuela, and they discovered, these are people who've been out in the wilderness and been living in isolated cultures, and they looked at the microbe family in these people, and they are discovering even more varieties of microbes than they already knew. And these microbes are resistant to antibiotics.
Wow.
So why would the Creator give us this type of information? I think we just lost power here. Are you still there? Are you there?
I'm here, sister. I'm here.
Okay,
because
all of a sudden all the lights went out where I am. I'm like, why am I in the dark? So something
has the electricity been cut?
I don't know. That's the thing. Okay, the lights are still on. Maybe something else is. So it makes you wonder. That's why I'm starting to emphasize microbes as the best tool for healing and restoration and strengthening. Because the discoveries that are being made, that there are more of them than even cells. So there's a reason the Creator gave us all these microbes. And they're just, it's like an army. It's like different armies with different purposes and functions that are set in here in this temple, in this body, to help us journey on this earth and recover easily and quickly and keep moving. They're right inside. Everything is inside of this. This is a community. It's a kingdom inside of us that is primarily consisting of microbes and cells, different cells, and they're all living, and they each have special functions. If we can take advantage of that and be more conscious of what we need to heal, the simple things we need. See, man has come up with these pharmaceuticals and surgery and chemotherapy and radiation, and those are the things that are more destructive than they are building and empowering and healing. And we have fallen as a society, we have fallen hook, line, and sinker into man's technology. Most people are trusting more in man's technology than they are in the kingdom within them to do its job, because we are ignorant of nature. We are ignorant of the nature inside of us, and we are ignorant of the nature outside of us. People look at a stone, they don't think anything of it. You look at a stone, you say, oh, that stone's talking to me. Why? Because it has a purpose. It has energy. Everything has energy. But we're so blinded. We're so blinded to nature's energy that that's why there's so much, I think, more suffering in this earth, because of the disrespect for the Creator's nature and the energy and the power and the purpose behind it.
You know, sister, I am so, so eternally grateful that we reconnected again, meaning you and I, because your wisdom are vital to assisting me in remembering. There's this song I play and play and play. It's called I Remember, I Remember. And I play it sometimes over and over and over again because I am remembering.
Yes.
I am remembering. And you are correct. We have within us the knowledges that is necessary for us to be well.
Yeah.
We just need to remember.
Yes, yes, yes. And that's why it's important, too, to do the yoga and the meditation and the fires. Because the Creator recognizes these offerings. I think even yoga is an offering of sorts. It's an offering of this human vessel to breathe. I think you agree, most yoga classes emphasize deep breathing.
Yeah.
And now, so when you get into... Go ahead.
Okay, thank you, sister. Speaking of the yoga, were you able to... reach out to Brenda Williams, and did she tell you about Sadhguru and the importance of
No, I haven't heard from her. I called her once, and I haven't heard from her since.
Okay, I will reach back at her and see. It's very important that we get that information from her yoga guru. I think it's Sadhguru, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
The importance of fire.
Yeah. Yeah. And those are the things that wake us up to remembering. When we do yoga practice, we're stretching and bending this vessel and activating the blood cells and the oxygen in us. And the oxygen, I have come to the conclusion after all my yoga studies and practice that yoga and breathing is a form of worship. We are worshiping the Creator who made this vessel when we do the simple act of deep breathing, because no other person can give us oxygen and the breath but the Creator's energy of love and the cosmos and the stars above and that message coming from heaven, or the cosmos, the universe, that's giving us life. If we stop breathing, that's it. This vessel shuts down. So when we practice deep breathing, it's a form of worship. And so we have to be continually worshiping. We have so many people into this religious habit of worshiping, going to the church every other day and doing whatever practices they do in the church. But just the simple act of deep breathing, closing of the eyes and giving thanks and having gratitude for the moment is worship.
Yes, sister.
The Creator recognizes the universe, the messengers, the angels are recognizing our choice to worship the breath that is given to us as a gift when we enter our mother's, when we are born from our mother's womb and we start our assignment, and the gift we have to keep us going is the breath. The breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank God. Hallelujah. You know, sister, I don't know, this is just a thought, but I see you traveling to different locations and maybe not having a permanent for now. Just don't say anything, just put that in your peace pipe and smoke it.
I wouldn't be at all. That's highly possible because in my journey to get rid of my 4-bedroom, 3-bath house, I had plans to do this and plans to do that, and they were all overridden by the Most High. It's like, no, that's not happening.
Yeah.
No, that's not happening. That's not happening. No, that's not happening.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. And yep, so we make plans on this earth, and when we exclude nature and the Creator's purposes on the bigger picture of healing the earth, the Creator's going to override our little plans.
Mm-hmm.
Until we are able to walk in the bigger picture and be at peace no matter what.
We must learn to be at peace no matter what.
Yeah. Yeah.
No
yeah.
matter what, sister.
Yeah. Because we are conscious, and we are chosen to be a light in this earth. And so we have to be at peace about, and hearing nature, we have to be at peace that we're in the right place, right time, and that we're hearing the voice of our Creator all the time, and that
mm-hmm.
we stay prayerful and meditate and stay in nature. The nature deficit disorder is all about being in an air-conditioned building for 8 hours with no plants, no trees, and dead food, processed food, and so disconnected from the energy of the stones, the voices of the stones, and the plants and the green of the plants and the voices of flowers. People are suffering from nature deficit disorder on all levels, on every
yeah.
level. And so we have to be grateful here on Rainbow Coalition that we are one of the few who is not suffering from nature deficit disorder. In fact, we are embracing the trees. I'm hugging the trees.
Yes.
And I so dislike being in an air-conditioned building. In Florida this time of year, and the hotter it gets, the colder it gets on the inside. It's crazy.
Oh, it does here too, sister, that, you know, everybody is saying, you need to go to the hospital and get checked. This has been going on for too long, da 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 da. Sister, I just talked to my body and say, look, we got to do this on our own, because there's no way I'm going to sit up in a cold hospital for 24 hours and freeze to no end for them to do whatever they do, because I'm not feeling like I should feel. However, I'm getting through this, you know. They keep these buildings freezing cold, and they say it's to cut down germs. But do you realize that more germs are caught in the hospital than any place?
Yes. And part of it is the nature deficit disorder. Those hospitals are not places where the trees and plants will thrive and flowers and they don't thrive in there, so the exchange of oxygen and carbon dioxide is not there. And so there's where you're going to have bacteria going crazy. MRSA and all the other bacteria that are resisting antibiotics. There's so many superbugs in the hospital. Why? Because there's nature deficit disorder there.
You know what? Thank you for saying that, because I haven't really been in the hospital where there are plants in.
Right.
I never thought of that. I never. Wow, sister. That is a thought. Okay.
And I think in some hospitals, they're even limiting the number of plants you can bring in for fear that they're going to catch a bug or something from the plant. I don't know why, but they limit the number of. You have to buy a plant in the hospital lobby for a patient. You can't bring something from outside.
What?
So it's like the plants have to be sterilized on the inside, because they're afraid you'll bring something in from the nursery outside of the hospital or something. It's kind of weird, but that's how hospitals work. So that's why I stay away from them. They seem to be a little out of touch with the Creator's plans for me. I'm like you, sister. I'm not going to any hospital. And in fact, my friend and I were talking about nursing homes. And we were saying we think we'd rather die in the wilderness than have spent any time in a nursing home, because we've both experienced the horror of nursing homes, the smell of urine, and all the things that go on in nursing homes. And if you're not in a nursing home that has those qualities, you're going to pay a fortune to be in a really nice one. So we decided we are going to just die in the wilderness with the plants and the rocks and the trees before we go to anybody's nursing home.
That's exactly right. I really appreciate you saying that, because that's exactly where I'm going. And I visited a friend the other day, and I said, okay, this is just to put me on notice as to what I need to prepare for, how I need to prepare. So,
You're better off in a tent. You're better off in a tent in the wilderness, eating the plants, the berries, and the Creator will bless you in that environment more than He will in a nursing home full of dead folks, literally, and dead food, and lots of TVs. Most nursing homes have plenty of TVs, and they wheel those wheelchairs in front in the TV room, and everybody's watched being programmed by the television.
Yes.
That you need more medicine and you need more doctors in your life than you do trees and plants and nature outside.
Yes. Wow. Thank us for being reminded. Yes.
Yes, we are blessed.
Well, my sister, what I can say is so monumental. You know, to the whole of humanity, this one thing. Two things. Have you a sacred fire and put your feet on the earth or in the earth? Meaning, dig you a little pit, and when you're feeling disjointed, if at all possible, you put your feet in the earth. And if you can't do that, have you a little pan of earth, especially for those times when you're not feeling grounded, and you put your feet in that little pan of earth and just meditate.
You know, that's becoming more and more natural for me, to take my shoes off when I go outside.
Yes.
Yeah, I totally hear you on that and agree that we who are feeling out of balance, we need to remember the breath and the connection to earth by our bare feet.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Also be mindful of where you place your feet, though. Your bare feet, because many of us are not conscious of where we're walking.
Right.
And what others choose to do with what's in their body.
Yeah.
So you keep that in mind and find you a sacred spot to place your feet, if at all possible, where no one has done their business or tracked other energies that are not good to be received by your body. Always be mindful of that, sister.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
the
Hallelujah.
Voice.
Yeah.
Always
Exactly.
So, sister, I'm going to need to sign off.
Yes, and we're going to thank you.
I thank us, and until the next time, to the listening audiences, I love you, I love us, and listen to your body. Always give thanks to your body, all body parts. Tap and deep, 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 deep breathing.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you. And we're going to thank you, Mama Maisie. Be blessed. Thank us. Baruch Hashem.
Ma'am.
And we're going to go out with music from the Great Plains Prophecy CD. Thank you, listening audience. Thank you all those who are out there in the earth who are raising their consciousness and bringing the healing energy we so need. Shalom and aho.
Aho. Shalom. Love us. Oh.